on it. Here's Simmons. What a step through! And he got it with the right hand off the window.
His vision, his willingness to use that Euro step, and the ability to finish with either the left or right hand. How about that move?
NBA Straya. Hey, yeah, that's right. It's NBA Straya. It's Thursday, December 26th, all day. It's Boxing Day. That's right. I am your host, James Clements, and I'm a writer sometimes, I guess, for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff, that booze money. Oh, yeah. I'm here in Larry Armour Studios giving you the lowdown on who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it. Of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA today. Breaking down, wrapping up every little bit of NBA action for you while repping Straya just a little bit, mate, and not taking shit too seriously. That's what we do here. Leave all the serious stuff to the nerds. Look, awesome day today. We had all the Christmas Day American games because it was Chrissy Day in America, Boxing Day in Straya. So lots to talk about, the Joel Embiid takeover, Boston smoking Toronto, a great, great LA showdown, and an embarrassment of the Houston Rockets. So we're going to cover that in all the game wraps. We've got the usual dumbassery, that's not my fault, mate, no, mate, spud of the night, pencil eating, betting the Lonzo Ball, and of course there's Yenna, there's the unpopular opinion of the day, and there's Outback Takehouse, where we're serving up a flame-grilled take. We've also got a new Shane Hill Memorial Shoot Your Shot, Light 'em Up Award. Because why not? And we're going to do a pick and preview for all the games tomorrow and across the entire weekend. Because we're going to take tomorrow off. Nice one. And we'll have a redux of the amazing cooking with Bainesy because I don't think they got enough shine. So, nice one. All right, Ripper Show for you. Let's get to it. NBA Show episode 383. Let's go.
This is Matthew Dellavedova, and you're listening to NBA Straya.
Watch out for the Shaq attack!
You better. Or you better watch out for the Woj bombs using, you know, a bit of Aussie material. What the hell happened? That's right, Dante Sexum has been traded. Woo boy! What else should you watch out for? Should watch out for the Joel Embiid, I guess. If you're Giannis Antetokounmpo, you should watch out for the Kawhi Leonard. If you're Kevin Hart. That's right. Did you see Kevin Hart in the LA game? Acting up, swinging at Kawhi. It's pretty funny. That guy is very small. Anyway, how was your Christmas? Mine was a little bit different to last year's. The squid was born on Christmas Day last year. I don't know if you remember that. I think I popped in and did a Boxing Day show. Can't remember. Popped in from the hospital, did one in the Arvo, maybe. Shit, I can't remember. I'll have to go back and look at the archives. But yeah, a little bit different. Actually got to have a Chrissy Day. That was lovely. I'll tell you what, the fucking squid, Jesus Christ, spoiled. Two goddamn presents on one day. I reckon this kid already has got more toys than I ever had in my entire life. Like, combined across all my years. Unbelievable. What a world. Still, good on him. Anyway, so I hope your Christmas Day was awesome. If you don't celebrate Christmas, I hope you've had a fucking good couple of days anyway. Why not? Who gives a shit? All right, let's do the daily whip around. And that's right, we did have a Woj bomb just before Christmas. It's pretty amazing. Utah shipping off our very own son of Cecil, the Tarnate Terror. The Seaford sensation himself, Dante Exum Sexum, and 2 second-rounders off to Cleveland. That's right, Stephen A. Smith.
Cleveland!
For Jordan Clarkson. Jordan Jeremy Clarkson. He's off. See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. Interesting. Look, we're going to talk about this a little bit later, but pretty cool that we got Dante, the old hashtag free Dante movement. Finally got a bit of movement. Not entirely convinced that it's going to work out great for Dante, but we'll hashtag work that out later. Victor Oladipo, it was announced that it's looking like a late January, February return for him, which is pretty crazy, but, you know, at least we've now got a bit of a timetable on it. Nate McMillan has been Very tight-lipped about that over there in Indiana. Marcus Smart apparently nearly went blind from pink eye, which is fucked. Poor guy. Seriously, no, that's fucked. Like, what was it, viral conjunctivitis? I mean, fuck, this is what the squid's gone through, and the shit is fucked. When you're an adult, ugh, no dice. That's no good. So I'm happy that Marcus Smart has gotten over that and didn't go blind. I also do wonder if it was just Marcus Smart beating his meat so vociferously and regularly that maybe did make him go blind. Who knows? Marcus, what are you doing in there? Nothing! Nothing! Shut the door! Marcus, settle down, mate. Jesus. And Gordo Hayward with his stupid fucking MAGA wife and white supremacist hair. He was back for the Chrissy Day games and stuff as well. All right, so let's wrap up some of the games that happened. What was it, the 23rd we didn't have a show? So, look, there was like a whole massive run of them. Wizards, they beat New York. Atlanta lost in Cleveland, that's right. Stephen A. Smith, 121-18. Philly smoked Detroit, big semi and amazing triple-double. Indy beat Toronto in Indy. Chicago lost in Detroit. No, wait, that's wrong. Chicago lost in Orlando. I should learn how to read. 103-95. Miami hosted Utah. They beat them 107-104. Jingles had an amazing game. We'll talk about that in Australian Player Watch. San Antonio absolutely fucking smoked Memphis. I was very wrong on that call. 145-115. LaMarcus Aldridge had a 40-piece. Not bad. Denver beat Phoenix. Just squeaked over the line with the Joker triple-double. 113-111. Houston eked out Sacramento. 113-104. The Pelicans were the Pelicans against the Portland Trail Blazers. Ugh, fuck the Blazers. 102-94. And Minnesota lost to Golden State, as predicted on this here program on Monday. So that was pretty cool. And then we had the Boxing Day game. So let's break down these a little bit more, shall we? Boston in the first game at 4 a.m. Were you up for that? I was up for the second half. Couldn't quite make the 4 a.m. start. But the squid, he was like, oh, yeah, might need to wake up, Dad. I'm like, all right, sick. Basketball, let's do the fucking thing. First ever Christmas Day game in Canada, and the Canadians lose 118-102. Big opening terms in third quarters for the old Boston Celtics there. 5 of 5 shooting and 16 points from Jaylen Brown in the third. That kind of meant the Celtics had that in the bag. But look, the Raps were without Pascal Siakam, Marc Gasol, the coach killer, and Norm Powell. So this was kind of always on the cards, and the reason why I didn't get up at 4 a.m. to watch it from the get-go. Raps had 17 assists and 17 turnovers. It tells you a lot about the game. I have actually gone back and watched a bunch of it. So, Freddie Van Vliet of the Fightin' Van Vliet. He had 27 points, 6 assists and 4 steals. Big Buddha Larry at 14 points and 8 assists. 3 assists from the rest of the team combined, though. Apart from those two. Yeah, that's not going to get it done. Chris Bobby Boucher, he had 24. That was pretty bloody good. And 12 and 8 from Serge Ibaka. 6 of 9 shooting. Nice. The Celtics, look. They were pretty good. They shot 50%, 46 of 92. They're 8-0 this season when they shoot 50% or better. So that's a nice harbinger. Jaylen Brown dominated this game, though. 30 points, 10 of 13. Couldn't fucking miss. 5 of 7 from deep. It was unreal. That third quarter was something else, man. 6 rebounds, 4 assists. He is just blooming before our bloody eyes, isn't he? I know certain folks like to compare him to Paul George. Other ones like to compare him to T-Mac. I don't know. What do you reckon? I feel like there's a little bit more Paul Georginess to Jaylen Brown, but maybe a little bit more Kawhi-ness to him, I think, as well. It's pretty good. 22-4 with 5 threes for Kemba. Gordo came back with 14 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds, 6 of 9. Nice shooting for him. Jason Tatum had a rough one. 11-9-6. We'll talk about his shooting later. Enes the Penis Kanter. In his first trip internationally to go play basketball in fucking ages, because, like, you know, he's paranoid the Turkish government are, like, going to have him kilt. Is he going to get straight kilt?
So he got straight kilt.
I mean, sure. But he didn't get kilt. He just went 12-11. So that was pretty cool. So this is pretty weird. The road team won a Boston-Toronto game for the first time in 13 games. Pretty weird. And Toronto now 21-10, Boston 21-7. They've won 4 straight. And how's this? They're the first Atlantic Division opponent to win in Toronto in more than 4 years. Jesus. But that was a good game by Boston. We'll talk about them a bit later, but yeah, looking good. All right, Milwaukee, I heard it's Algonquin for the good land. Not today, however. 109, they lose in Philly. Philly hosting their first Christmas Day game in forever. 121-109 this was. Milwaukee just got straight killed, didn't they?
Like, he got straight killed.
By the Sixers discovering they can shoot threes. And when they make threes, basketball's a lot easier. And the big thing was they're just length on D. And look, this was the entire thing about the Sixers, wasn't it? You go get Al Horford. You go, how the fuck do we stop Milwaukee? We get a whole bunch of really fucking big dudes. Stick him in front of him and see what he can do. And today, he couldn't do much. This was wild. They were down 21 at the half with the Bucks. That's their biggest halftime deficit under Buds. And Giannis had never missed more than 18 shots in a game before today. And today, that's it was a bit of a rough one, I tell you. He missed 19. Jesus. Sixers also tied their franchise record. They made 21 threes today. So Giannis ends up with 18 points on those 27 shots. 0 of 7 from downtown. Yeesh. I mean, what do you reckon, Stephen A?
This is horrible. There's no other way to put it.
I know. Middleton. Old Chris O'Middleton stepped up a little bit, though. 31 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 12 of 21. Hit 5 threes. It's not enough help elsewhere. Lopez, he had 11 points, 1 block. 3 of 5 from deep. Wes Matthews with massive disappointment. 4 points for him. The big ragu only had 6. The bench was kind of handy. 15 points from Georgie Porgy Hill. 16 of 29 shooting. 5 of 9 from 3 from everybody. But just not enough from the Sterling Browns of the world. The Robin Lopez-ish. Robin Lopez airballed a fucking 3 so badly it nearly killed somebody. But weirdly enough, the Bucks really missed Bledsoe. He's still out there with that his avulsion fracture. So, yeah, not often you go, oh, wow, well, maybe Eric Bledsoe would have helped. But he really would, I guess, against Philly. Make him work a lot harder on D, etc. But anyway, Sixers, as mentioned, 21 threes. 21 of 44 they shot. And they only had 7 turnovers. That, my friends, is how you win a game. Joel Embiid had himself a fucking day. What a Chrissy day for Joel. 31-11-3. Tobias Harris, the never nude. 22 points, hit 5 threes. Josh Richo Richardson, he had 18. He hit 4 threes. Average Al Horford, he had 11-10-5. Not bad. 3 of 7 from downtown. Fucking Furkan Korkmaz, he hit 4 threes. He had 16 points as well. And Big Simo Ben Simmons, what a rip snorter of a game from him. 15 points, 7 rebounds, 14 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks, 7 of 10 shooting. But he's better at basketball, I think. The rest of the bench wasn't great from the Sixers, which is never... Look, when that happens, it's a worrying sign, but Korkmaz stepped up in a big way. 1 of 3 shooting from Mike Scott, 1 of 6 from James Ennis, 1 of 3 from Burke. Didn't matter when Furkan went fucking ham. Christmas ham. And yeah, look, when they're hitting threes, Sixers look devastating. It's also a nice little insight into the team you probably should have around a player like Ben Simmons as well, right? He's handing out fucking assist after assist. If the shooters hit fucking shots, mate, they look incredible. Anyway, Milwaukee dropped to 27-5. Philly, 23-10. They're 16-2 at home now and 6-2 against the East's best teams. Interesting. Talk about that a bit later. In embarrassing news, the Golden State Warriors kicked the shit out of the Houston Rockets, 116-104. And this was fucking hilarious. I don't know if you watched this, but it was great. Houston started off like dog shit, 9 of 28 shooting. Golden State were right in it. And then they just kind of realized, fuck, we've got a chance here. And then just kind of just kept plowing away. Draymond was playing his ass off. D'Angelo was just doing enough. And in the third quarter, Golden State are like, wait a minute. I reckon we've got a chance. Let's have a crack. And then Houston just went, fuck it. We're not going to score for 5.5 straight minutes across the end of the third quarter. Warriors get up. Fucking Kyle Bowman hits a floater at the end of the third. Put the Warriors up 5. Absolutely amazing stuff. And then they just fuck. And you're like, oh, here we go. Houston has come back in the fourth. Nah, just never happened. Just never happened. There was just so much weird discombobulation between Rusty, Harden. No one could do shit in the fourth quarter. And it was pretty fucking funny, to be honest. Because, you know, fuck Houston. And look, Golden State in that second half absolutely smoked Golden State absolutely smoked Houston in that second half to the tune of, I believe, like 17 points. Absolutely bananas. They win by 12. That's very, very crazy. Very, very fun. So good shit. Golden State. Rockets, they shot 37%. It's 37 of 100. So, yeah, for those playing along at home, 37% That's 37 out of 100. Also, that's not good. Harden, the big thing is one free throw attempted. One. A single free throw for fast Jimmy Harden. For all the times we bemoan about him going, he's taking free throws again. Too bad. He hit 6 threes in this game, goes 9 of 18. Ends up with 24 points, 11 assists, 6 rebounds, 3 steals. It was a minus 18, though. Big difference, doesn't it, when you don't get all the calls? Rusty Westbrook, had 30, 12, and 5. Came on 32 shots. We'll talk about him again later. Danny Dr. House Jr., 18 points, hit 5 threes. Clint Capella had 10, 11. Thrift Shop went 2 of 9 for 6 points. And Austin, the most punchable man in the NBA, Rivers, had 2 of 8 shooting as well. Both of them scored 6. Just brutal, though, for the Rockets. The Warriors, however, Draymond had a season-high 20 points. That's how Draymond's season's going. He's 20 is his season high. 11 rebounds. He was great, though. Did everything. D'Angelo, how many assists did he have? He had 3 assists, Draymond. 1 block. Was it plus 20? Pretty bloody good. D'Angelo had 20 points on 19 shots. 1 of 10 from downtown. Classic D'Angelo. They won despite him. Damian Lee was great. 22 points for him. Talk about him again later. 18 for the little big dog. Glenn Robinson the third. 10 points and 4 blocks, a big Willie Cauley Stein style. And Evans and Burks had 8 points each. They also sound like an accountancy firm. Evans and Burks. What do you reckon? And Bowman, Kai Bowman, 4 points. Hit that amazing little floater. 6 assists, 5 rebounds. Very handy. Amazing stuff. Hilarious. Houston, your shit. 21 and 10. Golden State, move up to 8 and 24. Late playoff push. Here we come. Clippers, Lakers, the Battle of LA. Do you ever see that movie, Battle of LA? I feel like it wasn't bad. I don't think I've watched it since I watched it that one time. It's like aliens attack and shit. I don't know. It's probably good. Maybe I should watch it again. This was crazy though. Clippers, Lakers. Lakers were absolutely cruising. Good back and forth in the first half. Kuz had 19 in the first half. Absolutely smoking. What do you have? 16 in the first half? First quarter? It was crazy. Had 18. AD had 13 in the first half. They're up 63-51 at the half were the Lakers. And you're like, here you go. LeBron was struggling. He had, shooting 3 of 11. Then got kneed in the balls by Pat Bev taking a charge. It was never quite the same again. Lakers got up by as many as 15 in that third quarter and then decided, that'll do. Unfortunately, the Clippers are very good at basketball for the Lakers. So a bit of a late run in the fourth quarter. Halfway through the fourth quarter, they take the lead. Don't give it up. Boom. Away you go. Well, it got tied once or twice, but still. LeBron and Kawhi both had 11 points in the fourth. LeBron basically clearly playing through like what was a groin injury. Reckons after the game, he's like, once I got kneed in the nuts, it really sort of kajigged me. My groin stuff. And you're like, sure. And Kawhi is again, I don't know. He was pretty great though. Trez had 8 as well in the fourth. Anthony Davis just decided to not do much. And that was it. Clippers just gave him the old flex and went, fuck you. Pat Bev was running amok. He was amazing. We'll talk about him. But the Lakers shot 12 of 45 from 3. That's a lot of threes for not too many makes. LeBron had 23 points, 10 assists, 9 rebounds. That's good. 9 of 24 shooting. That's bad. 2 of 12 from 3. That's also bad. Yikes. AD, 24 points for him, 17 shots, 1 of 6 from downtown. Kuz finishes with a season-high 25 points. Notorious KCP had 13, and no other Laker did fucking diddly squat. The Clippers only shot 9 of 25 from 3, but that's 20 less attempts from 3 than the Lakers for only 3 less makes. So that's, do the maths. It's not bad. Leave the maths to the nerds, though. Kawhi was just quietly a fucking assassin. 35 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists. He was everywhere. 11 of 19 shooting. Paul George struggled a bit. 17 points on 18 shots. 1 of 6 from downtown. But did just still cause some fucking havoc defensively, didn't he? Trez, he had 18 and 6 off the bench. Sweet Lou struggled. 1 of 6 shooting for 6 points. Pat Bev was incredible. 8, 9, and 4. Plus 26. And Zoobs. Vija Zubac had 11. That was pretty great. Lakers dropped to 24 and 7. And I'll tell you what. Oh, the wheels are coming off. They've lost 4 straight. Oh, geez. Here comes the passive-aggressive LeBron. Are you excited? I am. Clippers are 23 and 10. couple of games back, obviously, from the Lakers in the Pacific Division. But good on you, Clips. All right, and finally, rounding out the Boxing Day games, another upset. The Pelicans beat the Nuggets in Denver. The weed smoke just coursing through the city on Chrissy Day. 112-100, the Nugs look like they've been puffing on a couple of billies out behind the bike sheds at Ballarat High. Real fucking meh. Just full of all that turkey. What is it? Tryptocine or whatever? I don't know. Triathlons? Fucking turkey. Who knows? Did you eat enough turkey yesterday? What did I get stuck into? I had a nice piece of fish. Fuck yeah. Nuggets were real just meh. Pelicans came out a big fourth quarter, ran them out of their own house. Just a lot more effort, a lot more heart. Just won't seem to want it. The Nuggets just look like they're going to like basically turn it on at any point and win. And they didn't. It was hilarious. They shot under 40%. They got out-rebounded 52-41. That's effort. Joker. There was like nothing more like perfectly encapsulating this game than Nikola Jokic. A giant 7-foot, 290 million pound Serbian gentleman. Being out-rebounded by fucking Jrue Holiday, who's about 6 foot fucking nothing. And right at the death where you're like, all right, Nuggets have got like one last shot. Pelicans miss one. Lonzo Ball. Basically, it's a, I don't think we actually got the ball off in time, but still, hits the rim, goes careening off, Joker doesn't get the rebound, Jrue does, game's basically over. And you're like, oh, that summed up the game perfectly. Joker had 23, 10 and 4 on 8 of 20 shooting, though, just gross. Jam and Jamal was shit as well, 2 of 10 shooting for 8 points. Gary Harris was talking some shit to the bench, then got hit. Proving the old adage, talk shit, get hit. Completely correct. 15 points for the Gary man. The Dartsman out there talking shit. Thrill Sap had 0 points. Thanks for coming, Paul. Merry Christmas. Will the Thrill Barton, 10 and 8 for him. Malik Beasley had 13 points and Jeremy Grant, 17. Both huge off the bench, but Nuggets just could not get anything rolling and always sort of felt like they figured they could do whatever they wanted and then they just couldn't because the Pelicans answered everything. They went 18 of 43 from three. Spindles Ingram had a career high 7 made threes on his way to 31. Shot 11 of 18. He was deadly. Jrue Holiday had 20 points, 8 assists, and 6 steals. He was a menace. JJ hit 2 of 7 from downtown, but had 15 points. Josh Hart hit 4 threes. He had 16. Etwan Moore, he was more like Etwan Adequate today. 10 points. And Lonzo even got in the action late. Ends up with 10 points. Was shooting like shit for most of the game, then hits a couple of threes late to help seal it. Denver dropped to 21-9. New Orleans riding the ship all of a sudden. 9-23. Unbelievable. And there you go. That is your Christmas Day games. Let's give out some awards.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
That's a knife. Oh, what do you reckon? Jaylen Brown, he was pretty fucking amazing. Joel Embiid, 31 points, 11 rebounds, 3 assists. Oh, he was just everything in that Philly-Milwaukee game. He was playing incredible D on Giannis. Did a little bit of everything, dominated the way you'd want him to. Hit 3 of 6 from downtown, which is always a bit of a shock. 2 blocks. Was a plus 15, easily the highest on the team. He was unreal. Well, Korkmaz was a plus 20, but come on. So really, really like that game out of Embiid. Big spotlight. He rocked up. But then, come on, the Clippers. Just unbelievable. 35, 12, and 5 for Kawhi. Yay. Hey. But I kind of want to give this to Pat Bev. 8 points, 3 of 7 shooting. He was a plus 26 in like, what the fuck, mate? This was a game. What, Clippers win by 5. Clippers outscored the Lakers by 26 points during the 31 and a half minutes that Pat Bev played. That's what the plus 26 is. No other player on the Clips came within spitting distance of that. And there was Pat Bev out there chirping, talking shit. There was a fan saying, don't make me call James Harden. Pat Bev screamed out, yeah, lock his ass up too. High-fived his fucking owner. Sorry, governor. But that was pretty great. Embiid, I kind of feel like, wins the day. He was like massive, massive, massive early. But this is the fun thing about Christmas Day games. It just sort of like, it's an entire day of basketball. You don't have like a million things going on all at once. You can sit down, concentrate on each game. You could probably pinpoint a winner out of each fucking game and go, yeah, that was un-bloody real. Like Draymond clearly won that Houston match. That was unreal. Jaylen Brown, the Boston game, and then probably Spindles in the Pelicans game. So that was great shit. Lots of great performances today. No real just etching your mind, fuck you, completely fuck off, but that was still pretty bloody good. What about old mate no mates, however?
Old mate no mates.
Who's got no mates today? Well, Giannis got punched in the eyeball and got a no call and got a tech for complaining about it. Merry Christmas, you Greek bastard, says the ref. Jesus Christ. Absolutely insane. But old mate no mates is definitely just Mike D'Antoni in Houston, isn't it? They can't beat fucking Golden State ever. They can't beat them when it's the regular season. Can't beat them when it's Christmas Day. Can't beat them if it's the fucking playoffs. Can't beat them when they've got Steph, got Clay, and got Kevin Durant. Can't beat them when they've got Steph, Clay, and no Kevin Durant. Can't beat them even when there's no Steph, no Clay, no Kevin Durant. What are you fucking doing, Mike? You'd almost think that Mike D'Antoni's like, you know what, fuck it. Reckon I get fired on Christmas Day? Let's just find out. Because that was just gross. Houston, how did Golden State have the wood on you so fucking bad? You morons. God damn it. Anyway, Spud of the Night.
Spud of the Night.
I mentioned Jason Tatum had a bit of a rough night. 11 points, 6 assists, 3 turnovers, went 1 of 10 from the floor in the first half, though. 5 of 18 he finishes up on. Yeesh. Giannis, as I mentioned, never missed more than 18 shots in a game before today. 8 of 27. 0 of 7 from downtown. Minus 18. 14 rebounds. 7 assists. 3 turnovers. Rough showing for Giannis. And gave a lot of the fucking mouth breathers out there going,
plays LeBron once and beats him, and he's suddenly the best player in the NBA. Now he can't even beat Philly, see? Fuck
off. Fuck off, you idiots. Giannis is still probably easily your front runner for MVP. Had a rough game. And this is the thing, I'm going to talk about this, though. Like, Philly are completely, completely built to fucking stop him. So, just makes sense. Anyway, rough one. And honorable mention goes to Avery Bradley, Danny Green, and JaVale McGee, and basically every other Laker not named fucking anybody. 1 of 5 for Avery Bradley. 2 of 8 for Danny, not the box of Green. Rough scenes for a lot of the Lakers today with the shooting. Obviously, LeBron with his 9 of 24. AD, 8 of 17. Ugh. How about Rondo? 3 of 9. Caruso, 1 of 4. Jesus. Kuzma was like the only one doing much. So, rough scene. Anyway, pantsing of the night. Jason Tatum got Chris Bobby Boucher pretty amazingly. Christmas Day hammer. Unfortunately, the refs were like, that went through and out. And so, yeah, it's because Bobby Boucher fucking tapped the back out from the middle of the fucking thing. So the entire, like, bit where Jason Tatum killed Chris Bobby Boucher went to replay. They finally give him the basket, and you're like, oh, well, that just took all the cool momentum out of that. Pants of the Night actually just might go to Dwight Howard, though, or Enes Kanter. Enes Kanter tried to shoot a 3 and basically piffed it weirdly sideways on like a 45-degree angle into the crowd. And Dwight Howard got a rebound, kicked it out, and passed it to nobody. Literally, no. There's like no one there. It's like, Dwight, hey, buddy, you still drunk? What the fuck? Holy crap. It was pretty wild. All right, finally, better than Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. You're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody, as long as it's me trying to seal the game. Isn't that right, Lonzo? Absolutely horrible all game. Then hits a couple of sealers late. Or sealers. Look, 10 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, 4 of 13 shooting, Lonzo. 2 of 8 from downtown. El Clasico, isn't it? But how's better than Lonzo? Sex man, Colin Sexton, in that Atlanta game I mentioned earlier. 25 points and 6 assists on 12 of 20 shooting. Unreal. But for today, I'm going to give it to Damian Lee on Golden State. 22 points on 5 of 9 shooting. Jesus. Because he went 2 of 2 from downtown and 10 of 10 from the charity stripe. What Kyle Sandilands' missus calls the old Brazilian. And 15 rebounds, 4 assists, and 3 steals. What a fucking game from Damian Lee, not to be confused with Brett Lee or any of the other Lees. What was the other chunky one? Fuck. Not Scott. I don't know. Fucking Shane. That's right. It was Shane Lee, wasn't it? Was he in six and out or not? I don't know. Anyway, there you go. Great job, Damien Lee. You're better than Lonzo Ball today. But Lonzo, way to come up with the goods late. I mean, it's not great to be outplayed by your little brother, especially around Christmas. Can anyone else relate to that? Not me. I skipped out before I could even play some backyard cricket yesterday. All right, we'll be back with some yenas right after Creaky.
This is Miss Creek, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right. Nice one. Going to go see Creaky on the weekend. Go a Phoenix game on the 28th. Should be good. See you there. I'll be smashing turdens. Should be great fun, actually. Should be fucking hot too, right? Jesus. What's going on, Melbourne? Anyway, what do you reckon? Bit of yeah-nahs? Let's do that. Take a bunch of NBA storylines, decide whether more yeah or more nah. Got sent a great shit Aussie number plates site picture yesterday of nah yeah. It's a great personalised number plate. I feel like I should have yeah nah on mine. All right, anyway, next up. Let's do it. Yeah nahs. Are the Sixers a threat to come out of the East? As of today, yeah, nah. Yeah, I mean, of course. Like, they've got the goods to beat pretty much any of the other East contenders. That's what we're going to talk about in 1 second. Because Amil Uwaka, frauds. Yeah, nah, nah, settle down. But you'd have to be slightly worried about Giannis and that Sixers length, wouldn't you? And then I'm much more curious about to see how the Bucks go against the Celtics as they get healthier and healthier and healthier and probably add another big dude towards the old trade deadline there. Because, hey, Jimmy, is the East just going to be rock, paper, scissors in the playoffs? Yeah, nah, yeah, I reckon it will be, right? Like, you do get the feeling like the Sixers can beat the Bucks and then probably struggle against someone like Toronto or the Celtics or the Heat. I feel like the Bucks can kill the Celtics and maybe the Heat, but not like the Sixers or Toronto or Indy. Like, the Heat, I feel like, could beat Philly, but could get smoked by the Bucks. Toronto can beat anybody and lose to anybody. The Celtics could beat probably, I don't know, maybe like Toronto. I feel like they're pretty well equipped just because they've got a lot of like guard defenders and it's going to be like a lot of Marc Gasol to beat this. Anyway, it's just weird and wild. And then you've got Indy as well. If Oladipo comes back, you've just got like fucking five or six teams where it all depends on the matchup. And you're like, Jesus Christ. I feel like we're going to have a lot more jockeying for position in the East this year than you've ever seen before. Because you did see Milwaukee just running into all that Sixers length. Really fucked them. Tough scenes, tough scenes. All right, next up was Clippers-Lakers, the Western Conference Finals preview. Yeah, nah. Kind of hope it was, yeah. Hey, because that was great fun. Give me seven games of that and I'm fucking happy. It's also prompted... what was it, Jeff Van Gundy, to say that Montrezl Harrell and Lou Williams should be All-Stars. So, hey, Jimmy, should Trez and Lou will be All-Stars? Yeah, nah, no! Fuck off, Jeff Van Gundy. It's like with the same bullshit of like, oh, he's in the MVP conversation. No, he's like, look, there's plenty of room for people who are just really good at basketball. They don't have to be in the All-Star consideration because they're not one of the 12 best players in that conference. It should be a 15-man roster first off. That's for fucking sure. But even still, you can be very good at basketball and still not be in the 15 best players in the conference, and you shouldn't be in the conversation. Like Montrezl Harrell, Lou Williams are great situational basketball players. Do they deserve to be in the All-Star game? Fuck no. Like, we don't have to make room for fucking, like, you know, the MVP conversation for Jimmy Butler. Is he going to win it? No. Then he shouldn't be in the fucking conversation. Just go, yes, he's having a very good year, and he's made Miami relevant again. That's great. Is he the most valuable player in the entire league? No. Will he be this year? No. Then fuck off. Oi. Like, no kid is also like, oh, shit. Montrezl Harrell's coming to town. I better go see the Clippers. Oh, I'm going to go to the All-Star game to make sure I see Lou Williams. Fuck off. I love Sweet Lou. I love Montrezl. But this is dumb shit. I hate dumb shit. Speaking of which, should Mike D'Antoni get the ass? Yeah, nah. I had PDXP message me straight after the Houston meltdown and was like, Mike D'Antoni to get the ass within 2 hours. I'm like, they're 21-10. I think they're going to be, he's okay. But the thing is, like, you fire D'Antoni when you've got Harden and Rusty on your team. Who are you going to replace him with? Like, Jeff Van Gundy back to Houston? Fizz? He's not fucking working for the next 3 years, Fizdale. He's just like, ooh, I've got that James Dolan money. Jay Wright? Well, he's not going to leave college right now. Kenny the Jet Smith? Maybe. Houston? Maybe. Be fascinating there, actually. Tibbs? Like, fuck no, not in the middle of a season. So you got to ride D'Antoni. Lame duck. Whatever. Bad. Finally, let's get to it. Dante Exum. Does the free Exum moment movement celebrate this trade to the Cavs? Yeah, nah. It does, yeah. But also, look, I think it's great that he gets a play on the team as our king and savior, Dally. But there will be more room for him to play. There will be more minutes. But they've already got Darius the Flog Garland. They've already got the Sex Man. This probably does push Dally further down the depth chart, which hurts. And, you know, the Cavs have got nothing to lose by at least running him out there. Whereas at least with Utah, they're kind of like, fuck, we don't know what's going to happen. Boy, howdy. And suddenly they're stuck with Emmanuel Mudiay. Best of luck with that, Utah. But the Cavs at least will have time to run him out there, around Darius Garland, around Sex Man, around Dally. So that's good. It's not like they've got a giant amount of backcourt depth. It's like Dally, Brandon Knight, and that's kind of it. So, look, I think it's good. It'll give Dante Sexum a chance to shine, to at least do a little bit of something-something, and hopefully build up that sort of value, you know, show that he can do something in the NBA. That'll be really fucking good. So, let's get it, Dante. Let's get it. All right, unpopular opinion of the day. Look at me. Hey, Brett Brown. Weird how quiet folks who want fucking Brett Brown's blood after every single Sixers loss don't say a fucking word after a beatdown of the best team in the NBA, hey? So the point being, can we just chill on the Brett Brown fucking slander until after this year? Well, he's fine. He deserves some fucking credit when they win games like this and he gets zero. It's like, oh, Embiid went really well and they shot awesome. It's like, yeah. So is it his fault when they shoot badly and lose? Settle the fuck down. Brett Brown, good coach. Until he, you know, shits the bed, maybe in the playoffs. We'll see what happens. All right, finally, Outback Takehouse. Let's do this. Oh, are you excited? Step on in to Outback Takehouse. It's Thursday at Outback, and you know what that means? Oh, fuck, here we go. This bullshit again, yep. The special board says Bloomin' Onion, 2-for-1 Bloomin' Onions, yep. We flog fucking onions to these Yanks. I don't know, it's fucking like deep fried or some shit. Whatever. Usually just throw that shit on a barbie. Get mum to chop her up. Throw her on there. Great smell. Nothing better. Smells like Bunnings on a Saturday morning. Only at Outback. And today's flame grilled take is, with this trade to Cleveland, Dante Exum will make a late run at most improved player as long as he averages over 24 minutes a game. Take that one to the bank. Only at Outback. Here's hoping. Friend of the program, Tim Watts MP, has long been on the free Dante and Dante for IP hype train, so let's get it. All right, let's do the Australian Player Watch right after Rowdy.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, nice one. Australian Play Watch, Big Simo, Ben Simmons. Obviously, today was very, very good. But did you see his triple-double against the Detroit Pistons on, what was that, Tuesday? No, Monday our time. Tuesday. What the fuck? It's all upside down with this stupid time difference. He had triple-double, 16 points, 17 assists, 13 rebounds, 8 of 14 shooting. But he is bad at basketball and they can't win with him. And then today, 15 points, 14 assists, 7 rebounds, 3 steals, 2 blocks. Gee, it's like he can play defense and also is a really good point guard. That must be pretty bad at basketball, though. 7 of 10 shooting on your Big Simo. Amazing stuff. No Jonah Bolden. Sixers are pretty healthy at the moment, and he's been off at the G League Showcase. Talk about the G League dudes in a second as well. Jingles at a season high in the loss to Miami the other day. 27 points. It was absolutely remarkable. 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 9 of 16 shooting, and 7 of 12 from 3. Absolutely fucking firing. On your jingles. It's about time. Everything is just coming up jazz, I reckon, for the old, since they moved jingles to the starting line, the 6-3. But his game has come alive. Dante Sexum got traded, so that's pretty good. He's now on the Cavs with King Daly of Maribor in Canada, first of his name, Smasher of Tins. And in the win over Atlanta, King Daly had, he played 19 minutes, he had 8 points, 3 of 7 shooting, 0 of 2 from 3. That means he's 5 of 46 from 3 for the year. 4 assists, 3 rebounds, a steal, and 2 turnovers. Paddy Thrills in their big win over Memphis. He played 18 minutes. He had 8 points. 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal. 2 of 5 from downtown. Kung Fu Thon, 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 Thon for Detroit. Got the start over Andre Drummond. Andre then came up and scored 27 points, and Thon only played 10 minutes. But anyway, 1 of 4 shooting, 0 of 2 from 3 for Thon. 4 points, 3 rebounds, and a turnover. Not bad, not bad. And Aaron Bangers-Baines in the loss to Denver for the Suns. That narrow loss, crazy loss. 11 points, 5 of 11 shooting, 0 of 1 from 3, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, and 3 turnovers. Not bad. And Ryan Rowdy-Brockoff, no Dallas game, basically. So Luka might be back later this week, so we might have seen the last of Rowdy for a little bit too again. Again, very healthy Dallas, apart from Luka. Anyway, so how'd the G League fellas go, the Aussie dudes, in the old G League showcase? Well, not great. Dengadal hasn't played since December 20. Isaac Humphries hasn't played since December 6, but has released a lot of songs and is now hanging out in Louisville. It's pretty great. Willie McDowell-White is still with the Rio Grande Valley Vipers, but is still nursing his injury. Jonah Bolden dropped 24. That was pretty good. 7-11 shooting for him. You'll take that. 4 of 8 from 3, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 5 turnovers. Build up that trade value, Jonah. Let's get you somewhere where you can actually play. And Matua McCurr, 3 points, 2 rebounds, 2 turnovers, and 7 minutes versus the Fort Wayne Mad Ants. Nice. All right. Boxing Day edition of the Shane Hill Shoot a Shoot, Shoot Your Shot, Light 'em Up Award. We usually do this on Tuesdays, but we didn't have a Tuesday show this week. And I just want to do this because I really just want to go through a little bit of the old Shane Hill Shoot a Shoot, Shoot Your Shot, Light 'em Up Award because I just like playing the drop.
He threw it down. Are you healed? Are you healed?
Praise the Lord, I'm healed.
Praise the Lord, I'm healed. Look, Shoot a Shoot. Don't we know that? You know who also knows that? Rusty Westbrook. 0 of 8 from 3 today. 11 of 32. Now, this is a bad side of the old shooter shoot. Because Rusty just goes, nah, I'm going to fucking shoot. I don't give a fuck, mate. So 11 of 32 today for his 30 points. Against Sacramento. Just before Christmas. 10 of 22 for 28 points. 11 of 21. That's pretty good against Phoenix. 13 of 31 for his 40-point outing against the Clippers. I mean, not bad. 11-25 against San Antonio. So you can actually say he's been on one, the old Rusty. In that time, however, how many threes do you reckon he's hit? 0 of 8, 3 of 4, 1 of 2, 2 of 6, 1 of 7, 1 of 3, 1 of 4. Yeesh. But look, averaging 27 points, 7.7 assists, though, shooting 43.7% from the field for December. Look, I've been very conflicted about Rusty this season, because he's been taken out of his native habitat. And I don't know, I feel like December has kind of been more about him finding out how to play next to Harden, and it seems to be working pretty well. They did go on a bit of a nice, six-game win streak and then lose to Golden State today. But there you go. I feel like if nobody else embodies the Shane Hill Shoot a Shoot, Shoot Your Shot, Light 'em Up Award, other than his teammate, it is Rusty Westbrook. Love that. All right, what about the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in? What do you reckon about that? Jesus. Have a cough, Jimmy. Look, nothing from Patty, I believe. I did check that. But there was a great one from Rowdy. An amazing one of his son Jackson up there hanging out, opening his first presents. That's unreal. And an absolutely unreal one from the Dellies. That's right. Dally with his kid as well and his missus. A great, amazing Christmas photo send out. With the Dellies, with the kid, the missus, Dally smiling, wearing the Cavs Santa hat, and just a Merry Christmas and a tree, Christmas tree emoji. Also, Thon McCurr, Merry Christmas to all, hashtag make a mob. Absolutely unreal. Great stuff. Great stuff. Inspiring. Just beautiful around the holidays, isn't it, man? All right, how'd we go on the picks over the stretch this week? Well, today we went 2-3 of 5. Yeah, that's not bad. We went 3 of 11, however, during the stretch before that. So, not great. So that's what, 6 of 16 over the last, you know, week or so. So that brings us up to 248 of 446 for the year. Not bad. Not bad. Slipping a little bit backwards, though. All right, let's have a look at some odds for tomorrow's games and then talk about all of the games on the weekend, because we're not going to do a show tomorrow. Yeah, we'll be traveling. So, yeah, got to get down to down the coast, do some cool shit, go hang out. Chill out, mate. Chill out. Should be good. All right, so we've got, what is it, 5 games tomorrow? Six. There we go. We've got the Washington Wizards. Wizards versus Pistons. Pistons are favorites. Fuck off. Give me the Wiz. +6. Wizards aren't that bad. Detroit are fucking horrible. That's insane. New York versus the Brooklyn Nets. Hello. Nets, 7.5-point favorite. Seems like a few too many points for me. The Knicks are big. The Nets are not. I might take the Knicks +7.5. It'd be a weird one. You know, they don't have to travel. They couldn't just go across the fucking bridge. Catch the fucking subway, mate. Yeah, give me the Knicks there. Grizzlies +6.5 against the Thunder. I kind of like the Thunder at home. Grizzlies, though, they're a Jekyll and Hyde team where they can play very hard and keep close with everybody or get blown out by 30 against San Antonio. So I'll take the Thunder -6.5. The Spurs take on the Mavs. I'll take the Mavs -6.5 against the Spurs, especially if Luka comes back. That is a laugher. Minnesota at Sacramento. This is a fucking tricky one because Minnesota are a shit show at the moment. No cat. I might take the Kings -4.5 in that one. And finally tomorrow, a rip snorter of a game. The Blazers go to Utah. Jingles versus Dame. I might take the Jazz -5.5. I'm not going to trust Portland ever again. Yeesh. All right, then the weekend, Saturday, we got Cleveland. That's right, Stephen A. Smith. Cleveland. At Boston. I'll take Boston there because they're good and Cleveland are not. Okay, so on a back-to-back travel to Charlotte. That might be a bit of a sneaky one, but we're going head-to-head. Yeah, I'm going to say that Charlotte actually win that. Yeah, give me Charlotte. Sorry, OKC, but on a back-to-back and traveling, might be a bit rough. Philly at Orlando, I'll take Philly. Milwaukee at Atlanta, give me the Buccos. Indy at Miami, I'll take Miami. That'll be a fascinating game as well. Phoenix at Golden State. Phoenix need a bit of a get-right game. We'll see how we go. So the best games there are going to be, obviously, Indy at Miami. And that's about it. Phoenix Golden State could be a great one. But anyway, Sunday, we've got every team bar two of them playing. We've got OKC and Charlotte missing out. We've got 28 teams on a massive Saturday night in America for Sunday for Australia. Memphis at Denver, I'll take Denver. Toronto at Boston, Boston. Indy at New Orleans, I'll take the Pelicans. Indy are traveling on a back-to-back. Atlanta at Chicago, I'll take the Bulls. Atlanta are traveling on a back-to-back. Minnesota hosting Cleveland. Minnesota, you can't trust them as far as you could fucking throw them, but Cleveland traveling on a back-to-back, I'll take Minnesota. Thank you very much. New York City versus the New York City Knickerbockers of New York City versus the Washington Wizards. Give me the Wizards. Philly at Miami. I think I'll take Miami in that one. Great matchup last time. Should be an absolute rip-snorter this time, especially with Philly. Maybe resting Joel Embiid on one of those two games that Philly play. Maybe he rests against Orlando, plays this one. Who knows? But either way, I'll take Miami. Brooklyn at Houston, give me the Rockets. San Antonio host Detroit. Ooh, 2004 finals matchup. Yeah, that's right. Nice. Give me the Spurs. Detroit are a shit show. Dallas at Golden State. Dallas. Milwaukee host Orlando. I'll take the Bucks. Sacramento hosting Phoenix. Sacramento. Lakers at Portland. Sorry, Blazers, but I'll take the Lakers there. Snap their 4-game losing streak. Clippers hosting Utah. I'll take the Clips. Oh, wait, no. Joe Ingles owns Paul George, so give me Utah instead, actually. Wow, 14 games. That's going to be unreal. And then finally on Monday, OKC at Toronto. I'll take the Thunder. Maybe not OKC. Just a big, long road trip for OKC there. Maybe Toronto for a nice big bounce-back win. Charlotte at Memphis, I'll take the Grizz. Houston at New Orleans. Tricky one. Houston on a back-to-back. Might take the Pels at home. Yeah, give me the Pelicans. Sacramento at Denver. Denver should bounce back and win that one. And finally, Dallas at Lakers. An absolute rip snorter for Monday. Give me Dallas. That'd be very fun. Lakers traveling from Portland back home. Dallas is seeing they're going. We've just come from San Francisco. Let's do this fucking thing. Maybe no Luka, though. I'll reserve judgment on that one, but whatever. Dallas, fuck it. Cool. Oh, shit. All right, there we go. We're done. We are done for today. And we're done until next week, because we're going to take tomorrow off, hang out, and then we might do a, might be back Monday or Tuesday. We'll see how we go. Going to chill out over the next couple of weeks. We'll only do three a week, I reckon, two or three a week. Might have a couple of guests. What do you reckon? Sound good? Nice. All right, so I'll keep you up to date on when we're back, but in the meantime, just fucking enjoy your holidays, mate. Either way, make sure you're following NBA Straight on Twitter, Facey, IG. We're all over the socials all the time anyway. Get around NBAStraight.com. Oh, make sure you... Oh, shit, yeah. We get around the old playup.com.au/NBAStraight. They're the guys who bring you the game previews and picks. Go to playup.com.au/NBAStraight. Join up. Get around their NBA specials. The pricing on all their stuff is fucking great. So get around that one. Chuck us a rating and review on iTunes, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, all that good shit. Spotify, Stitcher, however you listen to your podcast, you know, whatever app you've got on your Android phone, if you can rate and review, please do. It really does help out. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, House Hats. Their debut album, Running Out of Time, is the best Australian album this year. Also, big thanks to Joshua De Laurentiis, Fascinator, Goldmines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Should I, Green Green Green, and Dozers. All the tunes you heard throughout this show. Give them all a smash on Bandcamp and Facey. And remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. All right, we're going to close out with a redux of Cooking with Bangers. Or Cooking with Bainesy. Because if you go to Aaron Baines' insane Instagram, you'll see what he actually cooked for Chrissy, and it's fucking wild. because we did this on Friday. It was a bit rushed, but it's fucking great. So enjoy that. And we'll talk to you either Monday or Tuesday or something next week. In the meantime, have a fucking great weekend. Enjoy your time. Hang out with the fam. Get into the Chrissy spirit. Watch some cricket. Watch some basketball. We'll talk to you next week. This is NBA Australia saying, laters and you dickheads. Cooking with Bainesy is filmed in front of a live studio audience. And now it's time for Cooking with Bainesy with your host, Aaron Bangers Baines. Oh, yes, yes, g'day. Oh, Merry Christmas, everybody. Yeah, g'day, yes, welcome to Cooking with... Oh, g'day, Cheryl, over there, look at you. Yeah, this is Cooking with Bainesy, and I am your host, Aaron Bangers Bainesy. And in this here episode, look, it's a special time of year, isn't it? So we're going to whip up one of my absolute Aussie Christmas favourites. That's right, folks, it's a bloody roast. Yes, that's right, love me a bloody Chrissy roast. And it's easy as, mate. I'll tell you, I love a roast. Reckon I'd eat them all the time if I could, not just that once a week and that one time a year I'll treat myself, you know? Anyway, but it's an absolute ripper. Definitely helps keep up this physique, you know what I'm saying? So, look, it is bloody simple, mate. All you gotta do is go down to your local butcher, ask for Silly or Reg or whatever his name is for a roast. About 1.5 kilos of topside should do ya. Right, now then pop over to your soupy or greengrocer and load up on some veggies. Yeah, you're going to need some potatoes, some pumpkins, some onions, some carrots, a bit of celery, some garlic, some mixed herbs, maybe a thing of beans or peas, whatever suits your fancy, because you do need a little bit of green on the plate as well. And mint sauce isn't all that you can put on there. So, now, don't be a cow. Get stuck right into this bastard. Preheat your oven to 240. Whip out that roast and just massage it. Massage it with a bit of olive oil, a bit of salt and pepper. Chop up your onions over there, a couple of the carrots, a bulb of the garlic. two sticks of your celery. Just chop them up all nice and rough. Don't worry about bloody, you know, peeling them and shit. Just throw them in the bottom of the tray. Chuck a bunch of red wine, a bit of olive oil over them, and then bang, your bloody roast on top. Bangers. Bang. Right there. Now, simply bung that bastard in your oven, knock it down to 200, let it cook for about an hour and 5 minutes, and you're laughing. Now, sit back, grab a tin. You've got a couple of minutes here, because then all you want to do is get the rest of your veggies on and get cracking on them. So away we go. Chop up potatoes, your pumpkins, roast them with a couple of carrots for about 45-odd minutes. Cook your beans and peas, chuck them on the side. Get your mint sauce. Look at that. That is beautiful. Oh, you could scull a bottle of that, I reckon. Then, once it goes ding, get your bloody roast out. Oh, just look at that. That is amazing. Now, don't rush. Just like making love to bangers, don't rush. Let it sit for 15 minutes while we make your bloody gravy. And how do we do that, bangers? Well, mate, you listen to the bloody Paul Kelly song, don't you? Listen to the song and follow the fuck along. Look, you take the bottom of your roast, all the shit that's in the bottom, and then what do, Paul Kelly? Just add flour, salt, a little red wine, and don't forget a dollop of tomato sauce for sweetness and that extra tang. And if you're really feeling up for it, give your love to Angus and to Frank and Dolly. Oh, nice one. All right. And here's a bit of a special extra Aussie Chrissy treat. Because you know what goes great with all that? A couple of fucking prawns on the barbie. That's right. Get a couple of kilos from down your fishmonger. His name's probably Vasily as well. Get a couple of kilos of those buggers. Don't bother peeling them. Just throw them straight on the barbie. Cook them till they're as pink as my bum. And then let them cool. Serve them as an entree. I believe that's French for finger food. Lovely. Now, to sit back, grab another 10, maybe 3, maybe 4. It's Christmas, who gives a fuck? And when everyone's ready, before or after prezzies, doesn't matter, mate. Doesn't matter. However you do it, get around the table and get your bloody munch on. And Bob is your bloody uncle. He's probably your racist one as well, aren't you, Bob? Look at you over there, you fucking idiot. Oh, jeez. Yeah, anyway. And that, my friends, is an absolute bloody ripper of a Christmas roast right there. The Aussie classic. Doesn't matter if it's fucking 450 degrees outside. You can't go past a Chrissy roast and maybe a few prawns on the barbie. It'll definitely dead set impress the missus and her folks. I'll tell you about that. Don't worry there. Oh, boy. And there you go. How easy is it? Love it. Get stuck on in and have yourselves a bloody Merry Bangers Christmas, would ya? Have a great Chrissy. Happy holidays. Merry Chrissy. Solid Ramadan. Cheers to you, Tanaka. And we'll see you on the next episode of Cooking with Bangsy.